A war against Iraq would most likely open with airstrikes on Baghdad, just as Operation Desert Storm did in the 1991 Gulf War. But the airstrikes this time would be part of a very different strategy. Instead of a long and devastating bombing campaign, U.S. planners are hoping to keep this air war as short as possible. NPR's Steve Inskeep reports from the U.S. military headquarters in Doha, Qatar.
If they get the order, U.S. planes can now approach Iraq from several directions, from aircraft carriers in the Mediterranean and Persian Gulf, from Kuwait, and from a massive airstrip laid out in the desert here in Qatar. Military officials say they will pour cruise missiles and laser-guided bombs into Baghdad, part of an effort to shock Iraqi soldiers and decapitate the Iraqi regime. The destruction may be impressive, but officials here say the air attack should last only a few days at most before U.S. and British ground forces begin their offensive. In theory, a longer campaign could wear down the opposition and reduce the risk to U.S. troops, but the U.S. has neither the time nor the political support for that. Jittery allies want a short war with few civilian casualties from misguided bombs. Retired Air Force General Chuck Horner directed a very different air campaign in the 1991 Gulf War, but he approves of the new approach.
Well, let's face it, this war is going to be judged on how quickly it's over and how little damage is done to the Iraqi infrastructure and the Iraqi people. You can argue about the UN votes and all that, but at the end of the day, if this war comes to pass, it's going to be judged on how it was executed.
At a headquarters at Prince Sultan Air Base in Saudi Arabia, military staffs have been planning missions for more than 1,200 U.S. and British planes, everything from refueling tankers to stealth bombers. But officials emphasized the targets they do not plan to strike. Officials say they want to avoid wrecking the electric power grid, for example, though they won't rule out damaging it using sophisticated weapons. The U.S. is even planning to avoid bombing Iraqi soldiers, at least in some cases. For weeks, the U.S. has been broadcasting promises that Iraqi soldiers can survive and even keep their jobs if they stay out of the way of advancing U.S. troops. A lieutenant colonel who has to be identified only as Mike is part of an air crew that has been broadcasting that message from radio stations mounted on board Air National Guard planes.
And I think really trying to affect peaceful change or minimize at least the military response from his forces. It's a life-saving endeavor on our part.
If Iraqis choose not to fight, the U.S. military will have to be careful not to decimate them from the air. Some retreating Iraqi forces were annihilated during the Gulf War in 1991. Military officials haven't made it entirely clear which Iraqi forces might be spared from bombing. Robert Pape, who wrote a book on bombing strategy, says U.S. planes may attack Iraqi troops if they approach American ground forces or if they prepare for urban combat.
So I suspect that the real red line we have with Iraqi military forces is that if we see them moving in any significant numbers into cities, which could then allow them to use cities for urban warfare against us later, I suspect that we will be bombing and we won't be just allowing them to suck back into Iraq cities.
Military analysts say that after that big attack in the war's first days, U.S. air power may be restrained, essentially waiting in reserve in case ground forces need it. Rather than striking with overwhelming force, the U.S. will rely, at least in part, on the threat of overwhelming force. If the U.S. ends up having to use overwhelming force, even a successful war could become a bitter victory. Steve Inskeep, NPR News, Doha, Qatar.